Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're saved? Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We get a chance to come to the house of God, be encouraged, be inspired and blessed and in a very special way, praising and lifting up the name of the Lord. Those folks out there who keep driving by here, they just don't know how much we're enjoying being in here. One day we'll meet together in our new bodies. Yeah, won't you be excited about that day? You get to see what brother and sister so-and-so look like in their new bodies. That ought to be an intriguing interest to you. I remember what you look like on earth. Amen. Yes, it's going to be a really great time when we get to be with the Lord. I mean, we're citizens of heaven already. Our name's already there. Amen. Yes. While we have so much to rejoice in. Our God is great. Our God is good. We love Him in every way, don't we not? Yes. Oh, as a matter of fact, if you would, I'm going to share with you a verse over here that I think is something we need to take note of. And if you'll turn in your Bibles, I'm going to share with you Galatians chapter 6. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6. You'll notice with me, the Bible says here, and let us, this is verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. It does not say, let us be weary in well-doing. I think sometimes that's the way we perceive it. Let us be weary in well-doing. Because we've been in the battle a long time. We've fought the fight. We have come to the place in our life when we think that we have a right to just simply say, I don't have to do anything anymore because what I've done already seems to go on deaf ears and nothing seems to go anywhere. Nobody seems to be listening, and whatever it is I do for some folks, and I seems like, you know, it seems like the ones that you do the most for find the quickest way to come from behind you and make you wish you never did a thing. And that's so often how that goes. Then you feel like, you know, I've been there, done that, seen it all, heard it all, and I'm done. I'm finished. And yet, we somehow think that we deserve to be in that place. And that the Lord should give us a badge to pin upon us to say you've done a good job. Oh, wait a minute. That really isn't what that's supposed to be all for or all about. The fact of the matter is, it says, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. In other words, you're going to reap if you don't quit. Do you realize how easy it is to quit? Quitting is so easy. It takes no effort. All you have to do is stop. All you have to do, I mean, you can even quit and go to church at the same time. There are actually a lot of quitters sitting in church pews. Yeah, they gave up. I mean, they're just not at it anymore. They're just riding their pew is what they're doing. And we think that the Lord sympathizes with us. We think that somehow or other, in our life as a child of God, that we deserve a pat on the shoulder and a good retirement plan. I fought the fight. Having said that, if you would turn with me to 1 Timothy, I believe it's 2 Timothy, actually, and I'd like you to go with me to verse number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, And as we see here in verse 9, the Apostle Paul, I want to go here to verse 6. First of all, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Could you say amen to that concerning the Apostle Paul? He has fought a good fight. He has finished his course, and he has kept the faith. In spite of what he's about to say, he said in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Sounds like he's been abandoned by those who used to have testimonies of saying they loved the Lord and were giving their hearts to God and were following the Lord in every way, shape, and form. And now they're not following with the Apostle Paul. They've gone into places and things, doing things that, well, Demas, having loved this present world, he simply turned his back on God. Was he in love with God to begin with? It does not appear to be so. And then he said, only Luke is with me. He goes on to say, in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And then he leaves it to the Lord. The Lord reward him according to his works. Wow. Paul said, Lord, he's yours, you take care of him. It sounds like Alexander the coppersmith's in big trouble. And so is anyone who dares to defy the Lord, who dares to turn their back on God. The day of judgment is yet future. But it's us here tonight. What do we do with ourselves? We're not in heaven yet, and we don't have our new bodies, and we can't see what brother and sister so-and-so look like in their new bodies. We're still here on planet Earth. We're still here simply being used of the Lord. There must be a reason why we're here. There's got to be a reason why the Lord has left us in this place. I'd like to share with you a mood, an atmosphere, all the way over here, if you would. We're going to look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107, if you would, please. And when you read the Word of God, so often we say, okay, it sounds good to me, looks great to me, but it'll never happen in my lifetime. Yet we have the entire Word of God to apply to our lives, and it should be used and it ought to be active in today's everyday thought, every action, every word that we have spoken forth from our mouths. For instance, in verse 1, O give thanks. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Can you say that the Lord is good? Now, is there a time when He's not good? Is always good. Remember that verse we shared a little while ago? All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Yeah. All things work together for good. Do you know what that means then? That everything that happens to us in our life is a good thing. No matter how negative it may seem at the beginning, it's a good thing. The things that we don't like, that happen to us. All things work together for good. And the thing about that verse is, in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know. In other words, the Bible says, you already know that all things work together for good. So why is it that so often we act like we never knew? Why does it somehow seem like we never knew that all things work together for good? Why does this have to happen? Why do these things occur? And why are these things happening in our lives? And why is this going on in my life? And yet it all falls under the category, and we know that all things work together for good. And we know that all things work together for good. And we know. We know. Don't you know that this is what God wants us to have in the perception that we have with our eyes that we see? So, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed... Do we have any redeemed here tonight? Amen. Do we have any here tonight that aren't excited about being redeemed? Yes. Praise be to His name. Now, I know I've said this before, but you know, I read the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, it says that they're going to say amen in heaven. We're going to say amen in heaven. Yeah. And Baptists ought to have the corner on that one. Yeah, if there's anybody ought to know how to say amen, it ought to be Baptist. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be standing in heaven and somebody right next to you says amen and you're going to look around like, wow. I mean, you realize why? That's why some of us don't say amen. We don't want people to look at us. Wow. It ought to be a regular thing that somehow or other we're excited about who it is we are. And we're excited about our God. Now, wait a minute. We live in a body of flesh that wants to play down, wants to create a negative, wants to somehow cause us to say, shh, don't get so excited. But every time you look in Scripture, I mean, there are verses here. For instance, as you notice, that was verse 1. We go to verse number 8. Look what verse number 8 says here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, if we could find somebody that would praise the Lord for His goodness. Or even so, over here in verse number 15, the Word of God says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why, if we just read what was between these, it says in verse 16, for He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Well, then there's also verse, if you'll notice with me, verse 31, where the Bible says this. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32, let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people. In the congregation, let them exalt Him. And praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Wow. This is our God that we're talking about. When was the last time you were in touch with Him? Now, as we keep that thought in mind, I need to take you over here and turn with me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, you'll notice with me, please. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Now, I know that when we were here the last time, and I need to have referred to it, but there's a verse that we've shared, and I've called it an impossible verse, and that's over there in Philippians 4:4, where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord." What's the next word? Yeah, always. Rejoice in the Lord, always. Now, do you know what the word always means? Yeah, boy, did the Lord ever make that one simple. Even we understand that one. I mean, how do you interpret that verse? Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, you're sitting there and you're looking back at me, some of you, and you're saying, "Preacher, if you were me, you'd know different. If you knew the life that I was living in, there's no rejoicing here." I want you to know that. There's no rejoicing here. I mean, there's nothing in my life that says I should rejoice. And look, all that means is that you've closed the book and you haven't read it seriously. That's what that really means. Yeah, but preacher, I'm telling you what, if anybody was going through what I was going through, I'm telling you what, it would make my life really miserable. I enjoy sharing this particular message. And I'm going to present to you a ministry that you can get involved in. I remember the last time I shared with you a ministry that you can get involved in. See, by the time I leave, you're going to be so full of work, you don't know what to think. Because you've got all this stuff that you need to do. But it's all appointed by the Lord. It's all appointed. But this is something you can do. This is something that really, if you look at it, hey, if you're looking for the easiest ministry to perform, this will be it. This will be it. This is something that we all can do at any time of our life and our time of existence, no matter the condition that we're in of any sort, of any way, shape, or form. And that's the ministry of praise. Yeah. The ministry of praise. Now, I want you to understand right off the bat, this is not an optional thing. God does not simply say, "Well, now, hey, you can praise me if you want. That's great. That'd be really good. But if you don't want to praise me, but hey, that's all right too." No, He doesn't say that. This is not an option. This is actually a command of God that we are to praise Him, that we are to exalt His name. This is about us coming out of, well, boy, I don't, you know, these wicked people have somehow taken away all of the fun things. You know, I was going to say come out of the closet, but that's not going to work too good here. Somehow take it out of wherever you're at and just live a life of freedom where you can praise the Lord openly in public. Which so many of us don't do. Why? Well, because we're underground Christians. Yeah. Can I say to you that the Iron Curtain's been gone a long time? And you don't have to live underground. You can praise God openly. What we need is people who are free. What we need is saints who live this free life that God has so called us into. Nobody else is going to do this. It's up to you. There's no one else to fill this spot. It is up to you. You are called. I mean, you are. He says, "Rejoice." This is. Watch this now. The whole temperature here. "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye." Who's that now? What's coming up next? Righteous. Who's that? And that's you. Have we got any righteous people here? Wow. Isn't that you? Are you righteous? Amen. Aren't you glad I'm here to help you? Thee are righteous if you're saved. If you know the Lord is your Savior. By the way, did I say they're going to say amen in heaven? Yeah. Hey, with a little coaching, you're going to really get it this week. Boy, we're going to have fun. We're just going to enjoy ourselves. But the fact of the matter, it says here, it says, watch this now. Hey, get this now. This is a beautiful picture. For praise is comely for the upright. Do you have any idea what that means? Comely. All right, preacher, what's it mean? It's an awful simple word. It just means that praise looks good on you. Praise is comely for the upright. I mean, the upright should be, it ought to be an automatic, it should be a no-brainer. We should be praising God. We all have the reason to praise the Lord. We're saved, we're on our way to heaven, and we ought to be glorifying and praising God in the midst. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through, preacher. Some of us are going through some rough times. We all have a story. And there are some deep, dark negatives in the stories we have to share. Why, matter of fact, some of you are nursing wounds even tonight. Wounds that may have occurred a long time ago. And you feel like people deserve my wrath because they deserve what they get for what's been done to me. This might bust your bubble a little bit, but you know, most people don't care what you feel like. Some of them don't even know that you're having this vengeful spirit. I'm like this because people made me like. You ever met anybody like that? They're everywhere. They're a dime a dozen. But to find somebody who rejoices in the Lord always, wow, you want to stick around them. They say, hey, would you let some of that stuff rub off on me? It's where it really needs to be. Notice the whole context here. The atmosphere. Look at verse 2. It says, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Now, the people were praising God, and the reason was given. Did you catch the reason? Here's why they were singing a new song. Here's why they were praising the Lord with harp. Here's why praise is comely for the upright. Because in verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right. Is the word of the Lord right, brethren? Amen, amen, amen. The word of the Lord is right. Listen, you wicked world, the word of the Lord is right. So often we feel like we're on an island unto ourselves. There's more of them out there than there is of us. Do you realize it's been like that in every generation? We are the few. And of the few, there are fewer still that are actually doing work. And of those, there are fewer still who are really in love with God. Why? Because here tonight, there are yet potential dropouts. Yeah. Hey, don't you think it was interesting when the Lord looked at the 12 disciples in the upper room and He said, one of you shall betray Me, and they all asked, Lord, is it I? Would it be I that's going to betray You? Is it going to be me? Who? I mean, they went around, is it Me, Lord? which one of us could be the next casualty, the next switch that somehow is turned because somehow something got under your skin and you're going to be like somebody else who is just simply left in whatever mindset, heart, and spirit. We are all potential dropouts. Do you get that? We are all potential dropouts. We are all subject to. We are all subject to something that someone that somehow wants to come into our life and cause us to get a burr under our saddle. Why? Because we are still living in this body of flesh that can be irritated, aggravated, and even given reason to backslide. We are all possible future backsliders. Well, as a matter of fact, there may be a backslider here tonight. And for some of you, this is one of the reasons that you're here tonight is because you're tired of backsliding. You want God to get a hold of you. You want God to turn you around. Can He do it? Can He do it? Can God make you? Can He turn you around? Amen, He can. We fight a battle, and it's an ongoing one. And the more you get closer to the Lord, the more the devil stirs up things in your life. Some of you have come to know that over the years, and that's why you're careful as to how much you give yourself to the Lord. Because you don't want the devil on your case. You want the devil to leave you alone. Because if we decide we're going to live a holy life, if we decide we're going to submit and surrender to God, the devil's going to somehow make things awfully bad. So, preacher, and here's where it comes. Look, so many of God's people sit in churches like yours in the spirit of resignation. In the spirit of resignation. By that I mean this. I'm coming to church because I know I'm supposed to be here. But I want you to know that I'm not going to do anything more than that. I'm just going to come to church and I'm going to sit. I'm not going to get involved. Don't call on me to help out with anything. Do you know that is most of the people in most of the churches? That's the mindset. And then you get a Pastor Springer who is doing his utmost best to give of himself in time, in study, in prayer, and labor. And he's pleading with the folks to get on board. Look, a pastor like yours is few and far between. You have a gold mine of the church and a pastor who cares. I've been in places who would give their left arm and left leg just to be here so that they'd be all right. I'm telling you the way it is. I'm in a different church every Sunday. And you folks help me get there, and I appreciate that. You're a blessing to us and to our ministry. But I get to go in all kinds of churches and all different congregation sizes. One church that I was in, there was the pastor and his wife, and myself, and then there were three other children from a family in the church, and that was it. It's hard to get real excited in a very, very small congregation like that. This preacher had been there for over 20 years. What's going on? You see, we so often overlook the blessings that we're surrounded with. Sometimes it takes somebody from the outside to come in and tell you what you've got on the inside. You're a blessing. You're an encouragement to somebody like myself who stick together and fight together because the battle resides here. You know that you're doing something for God when the battle wants to just simply be here because the devil doesn't like what's going on. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is critical that you take the Word of God and apply it. We are the saints of the Lord. We one day will have new bodies. We one day will be in heaven. We have everything to rejoice in. We are a born-again child of God. We are new creatures in Christ. Does not the Word of God say that? We got any new creatures here tonight? Amen. Amen. New creatures here tonight. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, how do you like your life when all things become new? I mean, when every day all things become new. Oh, yeah, preacher? How come they look the same way every day? Get up and it's a routine. Every day, see the same thing, hear the same thing, see the same people. Wow. Did you know that boring is your fault? What if you and God got together on a night just before the next day arrives and you say, Lord, would you make tomorrow exciting? Do you think God could make it work? Well, you know, preacher, I never thought about that. Maybe I should get with the Lord. But then some of you are going to be kind of reluctant because I don't know what this exciting might mean. So we'll leave that one alone. But hey, aren't you up for a challenge and for a miracle in your life? Do we have issues? Ah, we do. We do. Look with me in Psalm 42, if you would, please. In Psalm 42, I'd like you to notice this here. And we're just going to get to the verses where the Bible says in verse 5, it says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And notice, it almost sounds like you wrote this. And why art thou disquieted in me? Now look, here comes the answer to this. From his own soul he said, Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, and then look at verse 11 where the Bible says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. In the first verse it says, help of His countenance. The second that we read is health of my countenance. Why? Because if I praise God, that brings my countenance to a healthy state. And people can see my healthy state. There are really two specific reasons why we should praise the Lord. Two specific reasons why I call this the necessity of praise or the ministry of praise. Where I get a chance to praise God as a ministry. A ministry. You know, we have jail ministry. We have nursing home ministry. We have the Sunday school ministry. We have other ministries that we get involved in the work of the church. Printing ministry, you name it. Look, this is another ministry that you're called upon by the Lord. You're already called. Already called. It's a command. It's not an option. You don't get a choice here. It is what God wants and requires of you. It is the ministry of praise. It is the ministry of praise. Got to look at this with me now. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. If you would, notice this. In Psalm 69. And as we're here, we're going to go to verse number 34. Verse 34, where the Bible said, Let the heaven and earth do what? Yeah. Praise Him. That's the heaven and the earth. And then it says, The seas and everything that moveth therein. They are to all praise the Lord. The seas are to praise the Lord. And the things that are in heaven are to praise the Lord. And the things that are in the sea praise the Lord. I mean everything, all of God's creation are to praise Him. That's what God requires of His creation. Alright, having said that, go with me to Isaiah 44. Notice this with me, please, in your Bible, to Isaiah 44. I'm just so glad to be able to share this with you. As you would notice here in Isaiah 44, watch this, if you would, with me, please. Isaiah 44. And we're going to go here to verse 22. In verse 22, the Bible says, get the perception now, all right? Watch this now. Let the Lord speak to you through these verses. He said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. This is God's talking to you now. As a thick cloud, He has blotted out your transgressions. Then He said, as a cloud thy sins. So He's blotted out your sins as a cloud. Then He says, return unto Me, for I have redeemed thee. We have been. There is no creature on earth or anything of God's creation that can be redeemed outside of the soul of man. We are the redeemed. And it gets so exciting that verse 23 was written. Here it comes. Sing, O ye heavens. Why? For the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye who? Wow. God's bringing everything into focus here. The mountains are now praising God because you are redeemed. Because you are redeemed. The mountains are praising God. The heavens are praising God. The earth is praising God because you are redeemed. And then He said, O forest and every tree therein. Hey, the trees of the forest are praising the Lord because you are redeemed. God's creation is excited because God says, look, ye creation, rejoice, for I redeemed My people from their sins. From their sins. I am redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You're not going to hell. Yeah. Amen, preacher, I'm not going to hell. Praise be to His name. And I don't care who knows it. I want the world to know that I am happy. You know, our flesh and the devil want to get together oftentimes. Those are our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We get to live with the flesh all the time. Have you ever gone to church grumbling and complaining? What makes you think I wanted to get out of the recliner tonight to go to church? Yeah. What makes you think you want me to sit there in that pew and listen to the preaching against sin that I like so much? I mean, what do sinners do best? Sin. That's why they call us sinners. And we go to church so that we can be preached to, so that we can be learned, we can be taught how to stop sinning? Well, I don't think so. I want you to know we're all here tonight under protest. Yeah, because if the flesh has its way, we'd be out there doing what everybody else is doing, except going to church. You're a miracle. You're a big miracle. And when you can actually enjoy being who it is you are in Christ Jesus as the redeemed, wow, you are a really big miracle. I mean, just think, actually being happy that you're saved. What a concept! I mean, what if every child of God got a hold of that? Wow, I am free in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's so amazing. He says here, O forest and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. I got to take you over here, and you got to see this with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Please turn with me to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians. This is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Notice this with me. We've seen this verse together in a different context, but it all comes out the same way. Here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Word of God said, let every man, this is verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou being called a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made, what's the word? Oh, yes. Free. Have you ever noticed the word Baptist and free go together so good, so well? Yeah. And he says, use it rather. Then he said in verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's what? Yeah. We got any freemen here tonight? Why do we live like we're so chained up? Well, I want you to know, preacher, I'd be praising the Lord if it weren't for all the stuff going on in my life. You see, you're not a freeman then. Because you can't praise God. God's looking for freemen. Somebody who can praise the Lord all the time. And it's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. And some of you are saying, sounds good on paper. I'd love to be able to do it. But as anyone would know my life, it's not happening in this part of the world. Can you hear me pleading with you? I mean, he says, likewise also, he that is called being... Oh, here it comes again. What's that next word? Free. See that? Free is Christ's servant. So how many of you are free tonight? You know, this free means that you're going to be able to praise the Lord always. How many of you are free to praise the Lord always? Do you realize most can't raise their hand to that? Most can't say, can't praise the Lord, say amen to that? Why? Because they're chained. I want to share with you the verse of Scripture that this message was born from. And that's back over in Psalm 142. Psalm 142. I'd like to share this with you. Here it comes. This is Psalm 142. As the Lord would speak to your heart. And we're going to start right with verse number 1. Verse number 1. If you would, please. This is the psalmist David. He said this. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. Got any trouble? Hey, we all have trouble, right? How many of you would like to be able to compare notes and say, well, my trouble's bigger than yours? My trouble is bigger than yours. Is any of your troubles bigger than God? Can God handle your trouble? Do you have a spirit that's convinced of that? Here's one of those verses I love. Do you ever memorize a verse without trying? Some have. I've been able to do that. Like Psalm 34:4. It's not too far away if you want to look at it, but I'm not going to turn there. But when I looked at that verse, I said, wow, this is so huge. It says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my... And it doesn't say trouble. It says fears. Delivered me from all my fears. I'm afraid. Look, we're all somehow surrounded with fear of some sort. But when I seek the Lord, and I found the Lord, He delivered me from all my fears. I'm not afraid anymore. The problems are still there. The difficulties are still there. But I am not afraid anymore. Come on, devil! I'm not afraid! Come on, problems! Come on, flesh! Come on, world! I'm not afraid anymore! Rejoice in the Lord how often? Yeah. Always. Notice what he said in verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. The way wherein I walk have they privily laid a snare for me. Yeah, that's our enemies. They're out there, they're out there to get you. They're out there to get you. Then David said in verse 4, he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Wow. Kind of sounds like he wrote it. He said in verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And here is where the verse and message was born. In verse 7, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. You want to know why there are so many who can't praise God? It's because their soul is in prison. Their soul is in prison, chained up. Oh, for the most of us, hey, we've got good reason why our soul is in prison. I want you to know I'm miserable because I want somebody to pay the price. I want them to feel my misery. And it only makes you more aggravated because they got a smile on their face and somehow they don't quite feel your misery. So the only one that's really in a miserable state is you. Don't you see the damage you do to you? I mean, what would happen if all of God's people were freemen in order to praise God freely and openly? It's a ministry. First of all, I gave you, there's two reasons. One is that it helps us to exalt God before the people that we live. Publicly, we can proclaim God. How wonderful God is. How God has been taking care of you. Has He been taking care of you? Amen? How much of the world knows it? How many of those people out there know that God is taking care, that ye is alive and well on planet Earth? We can come to church and tell people how good He is to us, but it's really tough to be able to say that to a lost man out there. Praise God, God is good. Praise God, God is good. Can we tell it to everybody? And then the second reason is, praising the Lord ministers to our soul. Take my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. It ministers to me. I can praise the Lord. Does not the Bible say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? In everything. All things. No matter how bad or negative or somehow or other, just seem to be always working against whatever you think maybe it should be like. I'm saying to you tonight, are we praising the Lord? This ministry of praise is something that God has called us to be involved in. And it's not optional. It's not something to say, well, you know, I'm kind of bashful, preacher. I'm just kind of shy. That's all there's to it. You remember what Moses said? Lord, I can't speak. I can't lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Guess what he wound up doing? He was the one that did all the talking. He was the one that led them out of Egypt. So many of the excuses that we give to God, God wants to bring you out of that shell of hiding and use you for the glory of the Lord and wants you to be a miracle, a miracle. Let God turn the light on in your life. Let Him create revival in your soul and in your spirit, beginning right now. Beginning now, let the Lord have access to you and your spirit and your soul. Shall we then tonight bow our heads? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. God makes no apology for what He puts forth in His Word, for the proclamation that He makes, declaring unto us His intention to move us and lead us and direct us in the way that we should go. Oh, many then would say tonight, preacher, I am a new creature in Christ. I am saved. Would you raise your hand? And please keep it there. Amen and amen. I see those hands. Praise the Lord. You may put them down. How many of you say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight about the ministry of praise. He spoke to my heart tonight concerning my need to undertake that ministry, that it is my responsibility to do so. And I'd like you to pray for me, preacher, that I'll take that ministry under hand and under heart and mind, and I'll apply it in my life just as God so commands it. Would you pray for me, preacher, that I'll do that very thing? Is there anyone like that? Should raise your hand. Yes, I see your hand, hands going up everywhere, all over the place. Yes, and amen, and praise the Lord. Amen and amen. You may put your hands down. Are there others? Couldn't raise your hand a moment ago, but would like to now. Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. Yes, I see your hand, yours too. And is there somebody else? I see your hand. Is there someone else? Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I need to be actively involved in the ministry of praise. I've not done so well in the past. Amen. I see your hand. Would you pray for me? Yes, I see your hand. I want to change that, preacher. I want to change that. Anyone else? Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. Yes, I see your hand. Is there yet another? Is there someone else? I see your hand as well. And who else? Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I need prayer. Father, thank You. You are good. You are gracious.
You are loving. You are caring. Thank you for all your goodness, for the blessing that you give, for the way that you work in our lives. I ask, Lord, that you lead and direct our heart and soul and spirit, and these dear folks who said, pray for me. Lord, I pray that you'd help this very, very important ministry to be an active part in these dear folks' lives. Would you bless now? In this invitation, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.